A Ratik Jan. Welcome to the Wednesday night program. Tonight's Bhagavad Gita class is on chapter 8, verse 27. Nate shrite paratyanam yogi mucchati kashatna tasmat saveshu kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhavajuna. Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Ete.
Ete.
All these.
All
these. Shriti.
Shriti.
Different paths.
Different paths.
Paratha.
Paratha.
O son of Paratha.
O son of
Paratha. Janan.
Janan.
Even if they know yog, even if they know yogi. I'm sorry, even if they know. Yogi,
yogi,
the devotees of the Lord.
The devotees of the Lord.
Muyati,
Muyati,
bewildered.
Bewildered.
Kashchana,
Kashchana,
anyone.
Anyone.
Tasmat,
Tasmat,
therefore.
Therefore.
Savesu,
Savesu,
Kalesu,
Kalesu,
always.
Always.
Yoga Yuktaha.
Being engaged in Krishna consciousness.
Bhava,
Bhava.
Just become
Arjuna.
Arjuna. Oh, Arjuna.
Oh, Arjuna.
Jaya Radha Madhava. Purport. Krishna is here advising Arjuna that he should not be disturbed by the different paths of the soul. Different paths the soul can take when leaving the material world. A devotee of the Supreme Lord should not worry whether he will depart either by arrangement or by accident. The devotee should be firmly established in Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. He should know that concern over either of these two paths is troublesome. The best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to always be dovetailed in his service. And this will make one's path to the spiritual kingdom safe, certain, and direct. The word yoga yukta is especially significant in this verse. One who is firm in yoga is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness in all his activities. Sri Rupa Goswami advises that one should be unattached in the material world and that all affairs should be steeped in Krishna consciousness. In this way, one attains perfection. Therefore, the devotee is not disturbed by these descriptions because he knows that his passage to the supreme abode is guaranteed by devotional service. The first question is, the first point is, why do we want to become a devotee? The yogis that are perfect in their training, they can decide what time and place and circumstance that they want to leave their body. And because they can do this, they can be assured that they can attain liberation. In text 28:24, those who know the supreme Brahman pass away from the world during the influence of the fiery god in the light at an auspicious moment, during the fortnight of the moon in the 6 months when the sun travels to the north. So these yogis, they're so trained that they know what time of year, what time of day, and where the sun is, where the moon is. They know the most auspicious time that they can leave their body, and therefore they can obtain liberation by that way. Now, as far as the rest of us who are not trained like that and are not perfect yogis, we can't choose the time that we will leave our bodies. We don't know. It could be, you know, any time and by accident. But I'll read verse 8:25. The mystic who passes away in the world during the smoke, the night, the moonless fortnight, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, or who reaches the moon planet, again comes back. So what this is saying is if the yogi or the devotee, the yogi who does not know the best, is not trained up and does not know the best time to leave his body, and leaves at the wrong time by accident or on purpose, he will leave at the wrong time when the sun passes in the south, and it's the dark time. So he will have to come back. He will be reborn again. Now, devotees who practice bhakti yoga, Prabhupada has taught us that we don't have to consider time and place or under what circumstance that we leave our bodies. Because we are devotees and we practice bhakti yoga and we are devotees, that we don't have to be concerned about when or how we leave our bodies, that we're guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. There's a couple of stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 8th canto, part 1, and the picture of this is on the back cover. And it's an elephant and a crocodile. Now, the elephant was a king in a past life, and he was cursed to come back as an elephant. The crocodile was a demigod who was cursed and was forced to come back as a crocodile. Now, I'd like to read the story of what happened between this elephant and this crocodile. By the arrangement of Providence, a strong crocodile once became angry at Gajendra, the king of the elephants, and attacked his leg in the water, pulling another in and out of the water. The powerful elephant and the crocodile fought for 1,000 years. Because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many years, Gajendra became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. So the elephant was out of his element, being in the water, and that diminished his mental and his physical strength. where the crocodile was in his element, being in the water, and therefore he increased his strength, his mental, physical, and strength. At last, Gajendra saw that he was helpless, and he prayed to the Lord for release. Understanding the elephant's awkward condition and moved by his heartfelt prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who lives everywhere, appeared before Gajendra, accompanied by the demigods, who were also offering prayers to him. Gajendra had been forcefully captured by the crocodile in the water and was feeling acute pain. But when he saw that Narayan, wielding his disc, was coming in the sky on the back of Garuda, he immediately took a lotus flower in his trunk, and with great difficulty due to the painful condition, he uttered the following words: "O my Lord Narayan, Master of the Universe, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you." So even though he was struggling with the crocodile had him by the leg, and he was out of his element by being in the water and being in extreme pain, he called out to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the Supreme Personality of Godhead showed himself coming down on Garuda to save him, in his gratefulness, Gajendra picked up a lotus flower and held it up to the Supreme Lord. Now, in this page in the book, it shows the human forms of the two, the elephant, who, like I said, was a king in a past life, and it shows him here, and also the crocodile, who was a demigod, and it shows his form here. And I'd like to read this passage. Seeing Gajendra in such an aggrieved position, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, immediately got down from the back of Garuda, and by his causeless mercy and pulled the king of the elephants along with the crocodile out of the water. Then, in the presence of all the demigods, the Lord severed the crocodile's mouth from its body with his disc, thus freeing Gajendra. At once the crocodile assumed a very beautiful form as Gradhavra. In his previous life he had been King Huhu. But the best of Gradhavas, but Devala Muni cursed him to become a crocodile. Now, having been delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he regained his original form. Gajendra's good fortune was even greater, for he had been touched directly by the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this immediately freed him from all material ignorance and bondage. Thus he received the salvation of Sarupya Mukta, by which he achieved the same bodily features as the Lord, being dressed in yellow garments and possessing four hands. Now, Prabhupada, let me see, let me read 240, hold on a second. Now, Prabhupada was a great example of not taking into consideration that where he was in the world, and he traveled. He didn't have any consideration for where he was, where he thought he might leave his body at any time. He didn't feel like he had to be in India. He didn't feel like he had to be in Vrindavan, in a holy place, because he was convinced that Krishna protected him. And no matter where he went in the world, whether he was in India or in the United States or on a ship experiencing heart attacks, he was assured that wherever he left his body, Krishna would be there for him and protect him. In chapter 2, verse 40, in this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So when we practice devotional service, even if we only practice the smallest amount, Krishna accepts that and he remembers that. And at our time of death, he will fulfill his promise and he will save us and he will bring us back to Godhead. Chapter 9, verse 31. He quickly becomes righteous in attaining lasting peace or sanukuti. Declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Now, in order to be in this position of being guaranteed that Krishna will save us and bring us back to Godhead, we have to become a devotee. So the question is, how do we become a devotee? And I have the 4 points of that on the board, and we'll go over that point now, chapter 18. So the 4 points on how to become a devotee is stated in chapter 18, verse 65. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer me your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So first of all, he's saying, always think of me. So that's the mind. And how do we always think of Krishna? By chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Need a little bit of time to get detangled from this recorder. The second point, and become my devotee. And how do we become his devotee? We do that by reading his books, Bhagavad Gita, reading the scriptures, and accepting the principles and imbibing the principles into our lives. The third way, worship me. And how do we worship Krishna? We worship Krishna with the deities. If we don't have deities at home, we can use pictures. Or we can come here to the temple and worship our beautiful deities right here. So that's worship. Worship me and offer me your homage unto me. Now, homage, I actually had to look it up in the dictionary because I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was talking about. It's to be held in high esteem. And we offer Krishna homage by, first of all, bowing, by offering obeisances, and also by having gratitude in our hearts, especially when we are offering obeisances. I'd like to read the purport to that text. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official mediator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. So we should, when we're not here at the temple, when we're doing our daily activities, when we have to work, we have to have family, take care of our children. We all have jobs. We have to mold our lives and think about Krishna and think about how we can keep Krishna in the forefront of our minds, you know, during the day, which is not easy because of all the distractions that are out there. And, you know, when you work on a job and you're concentrating on other things. But to actively formulate a way that fits yourself on how to maintain thinking Krishna during the day. And of course, we can do that by carrying our japa beads and chanting the Maha Mantra. But sometimes at work, that's not possible. So we can have pictures, maybe Krishna on our desk. We can chant silently, maybe. On our fingers, even not without japa beads. And to have in our homes maybe an altar set up, even if it's pictures, to offer what we cook, to Krishna before we eat it ourselves, chant at home, have kirtan at home, read the Bhagavad Gita at home, and dovetail Krishna consciousness into your busy life. Always think of me. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So what are the 4 points on how to become a devotee? First of all, what? Chant. Chant the holy names. Chant the Maha Mantra, which is right up there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And how do we become, maintain being a devotee? By reading Prabhupada's books, by reading the Bhagavad Gita, following the four regulative principles. The four regulative principles are no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. So we can follow the four regulative principles everywhere, chant, read, and worshiping, like I said, come here and worship the deities, our beautiful deities here. If you're at home or at work, then you know pitches will suffice. Offer your foodstuffs, set up some sort of a little altar at your home, and offer your food to that altar so that you're eating prasadam all the time. Offering homage, because we all offer obeisances here in the temple, but I think when you're walking around and you're doing your job and you're doing your thing and you're walking around the city, I think to always hold Krishna in your heart and always to have gratitude in your heart no matter where you are and what you're doing. You always think of Krishna and think with gratitude that's homage right there. Would anybody like to add anything to them?
The relationship with the devotees. Krishna says that that really you're not actually a devotee of Krishna. You're a devotee. You're a servant of the devotees. So when Krishna states, you know, these things that ultimately we do this, we manifest these the homage that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Devotee association is so important. I think devotee association, it's ultimate. It's the ultimate importance because we fluctuate. Some days we're strong, some days we're not. We can be strong for each other. And when we're having a difficult time, you know, that's when we go to another devotee to ask for support. You know, that's so important. I know it's so important to me that if I'm not feeling like I'm doing well or I don't feel well or I'm confused or something's upsetting me, you know, the most important thing I can do is to go to a devotee who's well-fixed and in a stronger position than I am at that moment and talk. And talk, you know, generally or with confidence. And that's extremely, extremely important in our life. In conclusion, I'd like to read chapter 18, verse 66. This is the promise that Krishna makes to us. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So like I was stating earlier, no matter how much devotional service we do, how much devotional service we perform, when we start doing it at whatever point in our lives, I know I came to Krishna consciousness late in my life, Any bit of devotional service done in the proper frame of mind, thinking of Krishna, offering what you're doing for him, for his pleasure, with gratitude in your heart for what he promises. It can be the smallest amount of devotional service. He will never forget that. And that small amount of devotional service can be enough to bring you back to Godhead. And that's what the promise is here. So again, how to become a devotee? Chant, read, worship the deities, offer obeisances, come to the temple, attend classes, very important, eat prasadam, but most important, association with devotees, chant the Maha Mantra, chant Japa if you can, chant, dance, and be happy, which we're going to do right now. Any questions? So this is the best part. Kirtan. Thank you for coming, Haribol.